This was told to me by special request of our Wednesday Bible study, that the whole church should have a copy of what we learned on Wednesday night and what we're learning for the next 3 weeks, called God Wrote a Book. And this is the only book he wrote. And how well we represent this book and how well we know this book, we need to learn what to do to share this word of God with people. And what we're learning on Wednesday is just tremendous. I want you to take that yellow sheet, and I had everyone recite it together along with our teacher when we were here on Wednesday. I want you to recite this with me right now, okay? If you have a Bible, you can even hold it. This is very important, because this book is the most important thing in my life. And we try to live by what God has said in this book and allow the Holy Spirit to teach us what we need to learn. So would you take your Bible and read this together with me, right? This is my Bible. Ready? This is my Bible. I am who it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I am going where it says I will go. God's word is milk for my soul. God's word is seed for my faith. God's word is light for my path. God's word is power for my victory. God's word is freedom for my life. When I read God's word, it brings me joy. When I study God's word, it keeps me from shame. When I memorize God's word, it purifies my heart. When I quote God's word, it defeats my enemies. When I meditate on God's word, it brings me success. When I abide in God's word, it gives me confidence. I am a Bible-believing follower of Jesus Christ. Spirit-filled follower of Jesus Christ. Amen? That's what we're here about. And I'm going to ask you to use your Bibles today. We'll have some scripture on. We're going to go through a lot of scripture today. We're going to be bouncing back from Luke chapter 17 and Genesis chapter 6. If you look at your program, we have a picture of an ark and a picture of Sodom, and here we are from the flood and the fire, escaping judgment. Father, we're so thankful that we can stand here again this week, proclaiming your truth, for the glory of God. What a great statement that is, for the glory of God, not for the glory of man, or a church, or a denomination, but for the glory of God. You gave us a book. When you said something, Jesus, when he said something and when he refers to something, we better pay attention to what Jesus said. If it's written in red, we better pay attention to what Jesus said. So, Father, we know that your word will never fade. The flowers will fade, the grass will wither, but the word of God will stand forever. Help us, I pray, to understand what we need to understand today. We give you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. I said that in the prayer, but because it's on my heart. When you read something where Jesus makes a reference to, that's very important. That's not a commentary on something. That's not something someone said, some preacher said. When Jesus makes a comment, whether it be, as it was in the days of, or as Daniel the prophet said, when Jesus said those things, we need to, say, oh, I got to pay attention. That's Jesus talking. So let's look at Luke chapter 17, verse 26 and 27. I have all the scriptures today from the New Living Translation. I read them in every version you can imagine. And I chose the New Living Translation. I want you to be as clear today as possibly. When the Son of Man returns, now this is just before they were asking him, what's going to be the sign of your kingdom? What's going to be the sign of your coming kingdom? And then he took his disciples aside and he started to tell them, this is what's going to be. This is how the world's going to be before the coming of the kingdom of God, before the coming of the Son of Man. Here it is. When the Son of Man returns, it will be like it was in Noah's days. In those days, the people enjoy banquets and parties and weddings right up to the time Noah entered his boat. Quite a boat. And the flood came and destroyed them all. So we're going to talk about the flood. And then in Luke 17, verse 28 to 30, it says this. And Jesus said this right after the flood. He said, in case you don't get the flood, here it is. And the world will be as it was in the days of Lot. People went about their daily business, eating and drinking, buying and selling, farming and building, until the morning Lot left Sodom. Then fire, burning sulfur, rained down from heaven and destroyed them all. Yes, it will be business as usual, right up to the day when the Son of Man is revealed. So today I want to talk to you about escaping judgment. And looking at what the scriptures say about the days of Noah. Let's look at what the scripture says about it, okay? We are not going to talk about the losing of our freedom to preach the gospel. We're not going to talk about the homosexual agenda. We're not going to talk about the threat of Muslim uprising and attacks all over the world. We're not going to talk about the training of the priests in Israel for the temple service. I don't want to talk about the moral decline in these days. I don't want to talk about socialism beginning to take over the United States. I don't want to talk about the threat from North Korea or Iran for nuclear weapons or the decline of the U.S. I don't want to talk about that. Today I want to talk to you about the stories that Jesus was speaking about for a reason in Luke chapter 17. And we can see from the scriptures that these events have already taken place. And we can learn some valuable lessons from them. Look at what Jesus said again in verse 27 of Luke 17. In those days, the people enjoyed banquets and parties and weddings, right up until the time Noah entered his boat. And then the flood came and destroyed them all. It's hard for me to grip my mind around this, that the Lord destroyed. Mankind had become so vile that God decided to destroy mankind. Judgment from a holy, righteous, powerful God was on its way. But there was time to escape over and over and over. But they were too busy to pay attention to the message that was going out. They were going about their normal activities because nothing like this had ever happened before. Noah was preaching about we're going to have a flood, it's going to rain. But it never rained before this time. They didn't even know what he was talking about. The earth was never watered by rain. It was watered by the dew. It was protected by the ozone layer was protected by a band of water that surrounded the earth. So it never had to rain. So they didn't pay attention to what Noah was saying at all. And in the middle of this vile, ungodly, morally corrupt, sexually explicit world, God had a family who had not caved in to the pressures of the day. So I want to talk to you about Genesis, about the integrity of the man named Noah. Go back in your Bibles, hold your finger there, or put your toe there or something. We'll come back to that. Go to Genesis chapter 6. When you have it, say, I'm ready. When you don't have it, say, not yet. Genesis chapter 6, verse 9, it says this. This is the account of Noah and his family. Noah was a righteous man, the only blameless person living on the earth at the time, and he walked in close fellowship with God. In all of the world, God saw one righteous family. And though only one family served God, it was enough for God's love to save them all when judgment came. See, even when Noah was a member of the society around him, and while it was evil, he and his family maintained their walk with God. What does that tell me? It tells me it is possible to serve the Lord even in a wicked world. You can still serve the Lord in a wicked world. Noah did it. I think I have these in your notes. We're told three things about him. Number one, he was a righteous man. Number two, he's a man of integrity. And number three, he walked with God. Those three things are characteristics of what Noah was, what kind of man he was, what kind of person we should be. A righteous man, a man of integrity, a man who will walk with God. And here's what I'm going to say to you today. If you are saved, it means you're going to have to be different from the world you live in. Did you hear what I said? If you're saved, you are going to have to be different from the world you're living in. No one can participate in everything that's true of the contemporary culture and follow Christ at the same time. Can't do it. You have to determine that our lives will be His and will bring and we will not belong to this world. And Noah is a good example of that. And we have a lot to learn from him. I said, first of all, he was a righteous man. Well, what does that mean? He was a righteous man. It isn't saying that he had righteous moments. And it's also not a statement of his popularity. It means he was in right standing with God. That's what righteous means. You're in right standing with God. Righteous is not something you put on or something you take off. Righteousness is being right with God 24 hours a day, 365 and a half days a year. That's what it means to be righteous, to be in right standing with God. Then it says Noah lived a blameless life in the midst of his generation. He didn't hide away from people like a hermit so he wouldn't have to deal with all their corruption. He didn't do that. He didn't hide away. And he also didn't compromise himself when he was in public by going along with the crowd either, becoming indistinguishable from them. In other words, he wasn't one person on Sunday and then another person on Monday. Oh, I go to church, Pastor. I was here Sunday. Yeah, but your buddies told me how you were at work on Monday. Or your wife told me how you were at home, you know, when you got home and so forth. And Noah wasn't like that. He was the same person. And these are things that we should be taking into consideration. Be different if you're saved. That's why Paul said in 2 Corinthians 6:17, he said, therefore, come out from among them. Come out from among unbelievers and separate yourself from them, says the Lord. Don't touch their filthy things. And I will welcome you. That's cool. I will welcome you for the glory of God. How about that? Amen. God gave us five senses through which we can receive, which they can receive information, how we can be a witness. And the scripture talks about a Christian influence. How can a Christian influence be applied upon other people? Listen to this. Here's what Jesus said. He said, first of all, he said, we are the light of the world. Did he say that? We are the light of the world, and others will see Christ as they see us. That's the goal. You are the light of the world. Jesus says, I'm the light of the world. But he says, we are the light of the world. So we have to reflect the light of Jesus. So when they see Christ, it's when they see us. Okay? Then he said, we are the salt. We are salt that should remain salty to the taste so that our lives have the taste of the reality of God. Our lives should have the taste of the reality of God. And then Paul the Apostle talks about, he describes us as an aroma and a fragrance of Christ among those who believe and those who don't believe. We are a sweet aroma, a fragrance to God. And number four, we speak the words of God to tell the truth to people so that they may hear. We tell people the truth. God's word is true. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So we speak the words of God. And finally, five, we lay hands on the sick. We clothe the naked and touch those who need a touch from the Lord. Amen? These are ways believing people are to bear testimony to their world, to the world we live in. These are the ways that Noah influenced the world. And then finally, Noah walked with God. Noah walked with God. To walk with God means just to be with him in everyday life. That's what it means. It means to have a relationship with him, to share your thoughts and to hear what he has to say. To have just a genuine relationship with God. To walk with him in everyday life. So listening to that, ask yourself the question, are we different? Are we really different as we walk with God? He said, as a near friend, we're called a friend of God. Are we different? These are questions that you're going to have to answer as we continue this message. The second thing I want to talk to you about is the invitation that was given to Noah. Go back to Genesis chapter 7, and we're going to look at verse 1 and 4, I think. Listen to this. Genesis 7:1. When everything was ready, the Lord said to Noah, "Go into the boat with all your family, for among all the people of the earth, I can see that you alone are righteous." Wow. Verse 4. 7 days from now, I will make the rains pour down on the earth, and it will rain for 40 days and 40 nights until I have wiped from the earth all the living things that I have created. It's powerful words. Noah had spent over 100 years preaching to the world about this coming judgment. Over 100 years. How sad during that time. No one accepted Noah's message and warning. No one accepted it. You know, it's heartbreaking that the message of salvation is so ignored. It breaks our heart when someone turns their back on the message of, when this message of salvation is going forth. And people say, I got a lot of time. I got a lot of time. On my, you know, when I'm speaking my last breath, and I'll make myself right with God. Yeah, I know. But I've buried a lot of people that have died suddenly and never had a chance. It breaks our heart when the message of salvation is so ignored. Let me ask you this. You think the world mocked Noah about this coming judgment? I mean, you know, God's allowing all this time. His grace is being poured out. 100 years he's preaching. Ignoring God and godly values will not go unpunished. It will not go unpunished. Of course Noah was being mocked. What are you doing, Noah? Building a boat. Well, why are you building a boat here in the desert? Why don't you build it near the water? Now it's going to rain. Going to what? Yeah, it's going to rain. God's going to bring judgment on the earth. Now, I don't want to get into this because I've looked up a million commentaries and reasons. But do you have any idea how many people were on the face of the earth during Noah's time? Anybody have any ideas? Just think about this. From the time of Adam to Noah was 16,056 years. The longevity of people, the average longevity was 915 years. Average length of years that you were on the earth before the flood. And then God said, my spirit will not always strive with man. It will be 120 years after the flood. So just think, married couples for 1600 years, I'm sorry. 1600 years, that's a long time. But 1,656 years is also a long time. Just imagine how many children you could have, how many generations that multiplied upon the face of the earth. They're estimating millions, maybe even billions of people. Billions on the face of the earth at the time of the flood. Noah had 7 days to get ready for judgment. Just think about this. 100 years of telling everyone he knew a flood was coming and will destroy the earth. And God even gives you 7 extra days warning. That's something? See, Noah being warned, he believed. And he obediently prepares his family and God's command to receive the animals. And this is interesting. When you study this, you note that God has the animals come to Noah. Instinctively, God did something in the animals. They came to Noah. It would have been impossible to gather all these animals in the 7 days otherwise. So God instinctively drew the animals to Noah. And God's desire was to save Noah, including a part of his salvation. So after 7 days, the waters of the flood came and covered the earth. Just as God stated, 7 days later, rain came. God's warning had been ignored, and now the day of grace has ended. Genesis chapter 7, verse 21 and following. Look at what it says. And all the living things on earth died. Birds, domestic animals, wild animals, small animals that scurried along the ground. And all the people. Everything that breathed and lived on dry ground, on dry land, died. God wiped out every living thing on earth. People, livestock, small animals that scurry along the ground, and the birds of the sky, all were destroyed. The only people who survived were Noah and those with him in the boat. And the next verse, I didn't put it in there. The next verse says that the flood waters covered the earth for 150 days. 150 days. A cataclysmic flood covered the entire earth. The Bible talks about those things that were once beneath the earth, underwater, are now above the earth. And the things that were once above the earth are now underneath water. Because we have found ocean fossils on the ridge of mountains, of the Andes Mountains, and on mountains in Utah, and on the south ridge of the Grand Canyon, ocean fossils that could only be found underwater. That during this cataclysmic flood, it is though God stuck his hand in the earth and turned it inside out. Because the Bible says waters from the fountains from under the earth came up, and the band that was around the earth that protected the earth came down. And it rained for 40 days and 40 nights. And as surely as God kept his word back then, he will surely keep his word in the future with judgments also. You see, the great tragedy of the story is that so many people died that didn't have to die. God had opened up the window of opportunity for 100 years. He opened that window of grace and opportunity. He even gave him a 7-day extension at the end. And the people scoffed at Noah's message because they did that. That demonstrated the hardness of their hearts. But you know what I thought about? When they saw the animals, think about this. When they saw the animals coming to Noah, they should have seen that this is a miracle in itself. And perhaps the message was true. Maybe it was really true. But they still ignored God's message. And I thought, how many today ignore the message of salvation and the coming judgment of God also? Are we any different? Is this world any different? As it was in the days of Noah. You think we're in the days of Noah? People had seen for so long through the eyes of sin that they could no longer hear from God. The wicked were so used to being wicked that they did not see the need for salvation. They thought that they were okay. They thought Noah was the weird one. You're the weird one. You're a born-again believer. You're the weird one. And that's what they thought about Noah. In fact, the scripture said, man is a sinner whose deepest imaginations are evil, and his thought life produces a world of illusions. He thinks of himself as pure when in reality, he is guilty before God. We are all guilty before God. We need to guard our hearts against becoming so used to sin in this world that we fail to sense the conviction of the Holy Spirit of God. The Bible says, I'll send my Spirit. He will convict the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. The Holy Spirit is out in the world today convicting the world of sin. Are people listening? You are, thank the Lord. But the world isn't listening. You know what I thought about? I thought about it must have been so difficult for Noah and his family. Do you think it was difficult for them to hear people screaming outside of the ark as the waters rose? And by then the door had been sealed shut by God. Sealed shut by God himself, and there was no more opportunity. See, God gives during this lifetime an opportunity to come to him. But after that door is sealed shut, there's no more opportunities. There's no salvation on the other side after death. I got a call the other day. A family member had passed away, and they wanted me to go and pray for the one who passed away. I didn't know them. They couldn't get a hold of a Catholic priest to administer a sacrament for the dead. There is no sacrament for the dead. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. We pray for the living. Don't put that salvation off. Don't put that day off. Jesus said, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. They did eat, they drank, they married, they were given in marriage until the day Noah entered into the ark and the flood came and destroyed them all. But today, even today, we know that people, they doubt the story of the flood. And they just don't want to hear about the flood. Oh, come on, Noah built a boat. Yeah, where is it, in Tennessee? The original one is on Mount Ararat. We're going to see that someday. I know we're going to see that. But a lot of you saw that. How many saw that boat? There you go. There you saw that. Pretty big ship, isn't it? What is it, like 100 boxcars long? It's incredible. But a lot of people don't believe the story of the flood. And Jesus knew that. So immediately in the next verse, he says, okay, you don't believe the story of the flood? How about the fire? Look at what he says about the fire. The ruin of Sodom. The devastation of Sodom. We know that at the end of the Dead Sea today, there is evidence of a great fire so hot that the sand has turned into glass in some places. A fire so hot. And they know that historically, that is the setting at the end of the Dead Sea where Sodom and Gomorrah is or was. So let's look quickly at this and see what Jesus is talking about back in Luke's Gospel, chapter 17. Look at what it says, verse 28 to 30. And the world will be as it was in the days of Lot. People went about their daily business, eating and drinking, buying and selling, farming and building, until the morning Lot left Sodom. Then fire and burning sulfur rained down from heaven and destroyed them all. Yes, it will be business as usual, right up to the day when the Son of Man is revealed. Business as usual. Where was Lot? Where was he? Let's look at the description in Genesis. Go back to Genesis 13. This is where, right before, when Abraham and Lot, they knew they had to separate from each other. And Abraham was gracious and he said, look it, you, if you go to the left, I'll go to the right. If you go to the right, I'll go to the left. Wherever you go, you just take your choice. And it says in verse 10, Lot took a long look at the fertile plains of the Jordan Valley in the direction of Zoar. The whole area was well watered everywhere, like the garden of the Lord or the beautiful land of Egypt. This was before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. Verse 13 says, but the people of this area were extremely wicked and constantly sinning against the Lord. Now you do your own homework and find out what was the exceeding wickedness of Sodom and Gomorrah. What was the constant sin that was in Sodom and Gomorrah? You read the scriptures and find out what the men tried to do, even to the two angels that came to Sodom. See, this is what the Bible shows you. What Lot, when he was looking at this valley, it was a description of a beautiful place. A beautiful place. All the things that a person could hope for. Plenty of grass for the animals. Plenty of a good well-watered, it says, land to grow their fruits and vegetables. Good for fishing and so forth. But then you go to verse 13, it says, it was exceedingly wicked. What does that mean? That means, you know what? The devil knows how to make things appear to be so wonderful. Look at that over there. Isn't that great? That's beautiful. You need to go there. He makes everything look, and we bought into the preaching of, you need to, God, he'll give you everything your heart desires. God just wants the best for his children. You know what? Sometimes the best for his children is to want run away from Satan's traps. And the prosperity preaching, sometimes, you really got to take with a grain of salt. Sure, God wants to bless you, and he will bless you. according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. Not according to your riches in glory for you, but according to his riches in glory. And he will bless you. And he will show favor for you. Amen? Let's look at this destruction. God decided to destroy the cities with fire. But there was a man and a family that was not part of the problem. And angels come to Lot and told him to escape judgment. We look at this in Genesis chapter 19, verse 12 and 13. Look at what it says. I told you we're going to bathe you with scripture today. I want to challenge you to get into this word yourself. Look at what it says. Meanwhile, the angels questioned Lot. Do you have any other relatives here in the city? They asked. Get them out of this place. Your sons-in-laws, your sons, your daughters, or anyone else. For we are about to destroy this city completely. The outcry against this place is so great, it has reached the Lord, and he has sent us to destroy it. Even the angels are trying to convince these children to leave. And it did no good. Even angels telling you, you got to leave. It didn't do any good. Look at verse 14 and 15. So Lot rushed out to tell his daughter's fiancés, quick, get out of the city. The Lord is about to destroy it. But the young men thought he was only joking. Oh, come on, Lot. Come on, man. This is good here. We got it great here. They thought he was just joking. Look at verse 15. At dawn the next morning, the angels became insistent. Hurry, they said to Lot. Take your wife and your two daughters who are here. Get out right now, or you will be swept away in the destruction of this city. Wow. Verse 16. When Lot still hesitated. What's up with you, Lot? Can't you hear what the angels are telling you? When Lot still hesitated, I think he still wanted, maybe he wanted to, my son-in-laws are there, my sons are there, whoever's there, and he's hesitating, the angels seized his hands and the hands of his wife and his two daughters and rushed them to safety outside the city, for the Lord was merciful. The Lord was merciful. And when they were safely out of the city, one of the angels ordered, run for your lives. Run for your lives and don't look back or stop anywhere in the valley. Escape to the mountains or you will be swept away. Wow. It seems, even though they seemed to believe God was going to judge that city, they had to be pulled out. I have a hard time with that. They still had to be pulled out of the city. Then look what it says in verse 24 following. Then the Lord rained down fire and burning sulfur from the sky on Sodom and Gomorrah. He utterly destroyed them along with the other cities and the villages of the plains, wiping out all the people, every bit of vegetation. And Lot's wife looked back as she was following behind him and she turned into a pillar of salt. There's another scripture in Luke where it says, remember Lot's wife. This is a short verse. Remember Lot's wife. What did she do? She looked. But you know what? When you study that in the Hebrew, it's not that she didn't just turn around and look. It says she was turning as if to go back. She wanted to go back. So a wife, two sons-in-laws were lost because of the pull of that day and the lifestyle of that day. They all had a personal invitation, didn't they? They all had a personal invitation. Here's the invitation. Back to Luke chapter 17. Back to Luke 17. Look at what Jesus said again. And the world will be as it was in the days of Lot. People went about their daily business, eating and drinking, buying and selling, farming and building, until the morning Lot left Sodom, then fire and burning sulfur rained down from heaven and destroyed them all. Yes, it will be business as usual, right up to the day when the Son of Man is revealed. See, God makes a clear distinction between those who are his and those who are not when it comes to his promises to bless, when it comes to his declaration to judge. God makes a distinction between his people and those who are not. So the question today, and here's the question for you. Here's the question you need to share. Are you inside or outside of the ark? And the ark is Jesus Christ. Are you inside or outside? How are you preparing to face the oncoming final judgment? Listen, don't wait till God's patience runs out as it did in the days of Noah. The Bible calls us to repent and to be reconciled with God through Jesus Christ so that you need not fear the coming judgment of God at all. You can rejoice. Can you rejoice today in knowing that you are saved, or does the prospect of the coming judgment scare you or grip your heart? You see, Noah was not afraid. Why? Because he walked with God. We do not have to be afraid either if we are walking with God. There needs to be no fear. Fear is a tormenting spirit. I have not given you a spirit of fear, but of love and power and a sound mind. We don't have to fear if we're walking with God. And so what are you receiving today? You're receiving a personal invitation to escape judgment. As shared by Jesus Christ himself, showing you what happened in Noah. I'd like the worship team to come. We're going to close. When you read what Jesus says, pay attention. Again, I'm going to repeat myself. If it's in red, and Jesus said, this is how it's going to be, as it was in the days of Noah, as it was in the days of Lot. And if you examine your world in which you're living in right now, and you believe that, hey, it's happening in this world just like it was happening then. What does that tell you? That tells you that the Son of Man is about to appear on the horizon and take his church out of here, just like he took Noah out of it, put him in a boat, and he escaped the judgment. Just like he took Lot out of Sodom and Gomorrah, and they escaped judgment. And he will take you, his church, if you are his children. If you accepted Jesus Christ into your life, and you are walking with God, not just on Sunday morning. Remember, Noah was a righteous man. He was right with God every day. He wasn't a phony. Don't be a phony and just be a Christian on Sunday. And everybody else knows how you are Monday through Friday, Saturday. Don't do it. Because you're not fooling anybody, but you're certainly not fooling God. Amen? I love you guys. I'm sharing something with you because I want you to share it with someone else. It's there. Let them read Luke 17. Let them read the account in Genesis. Jesus quoted it himself. That says volumes to me. Let's all stand. Father, we thank you so much for today and your word. And I pray, God, as we pray every week, that if there's someone here who doesn't know you as their personal Savior and has never made that commitment, I pray, Father, that they will make that commitment today. That they will pray in their heart and realize, God, I am a sinner and I need a Savior. And I know you died for me so that I won't have to die and I don't have to face the judgment. You took my judgment on a cross on Calvary's mountain. And so today, I receive that forgiveness of my sins and I accept you into my heart. Be my Lord and Savior. If the Holy Spirit of God spoke that to you, I really wish you would stay afterwards and just come down and say hi. I'd say, Pastor, I prayed that prayer with you today. I meant business with Jesus today. Today is the day of salvation. Don't let it go by.